Welcome to Peaceful Life Radio, your place on the internet for cultivating a peaceful life. We are Drs. David Lowry and Don Drew, and we're here to help you navigate life's challenges with confidence and calm by getting rid of interpersonal drama and conflict.
Our goal is to help you build strong and lasting relationships and live a more peaceful life.
For more information, visit our websites at peacefulliferadio.com and peacemaking101.com for transcripts, show information, and peacemaking info. And hello, everyone. This is David Lowry for A Peaceful Life. Don, you doing all right today?
Great, David. I'm looking forward to today's discussion.
At the beginning of this podcast, we need to define what it means to live a peaceful life, be a peacemaker, all of these terms that get thrown around. We think everybody listening to our program wants to know more about what it means to have peace in your life and how can I get it. And the purpose of this program is to teach you those things.
So, David, I'm really excited about this discussion. I've been thinking about mental models for a long time. Mental models are the ways we can have peace, the way we think about peace, what we think about it, and how it shapes both our thinking and our actions.
I totally get that. What you think is possible for you has a lot to do with whether or not you'll have a peaceful life. If you think there's no way I can have a peaceful life, it is what it is, and you just go forward, you'll probably have lots of trouble in your life. But if you think there's got to be a better way, then suddenly we might have an opportunity to work with you and teach you a few things. By the way, we encourage you to go to our website, peacemaking101.com, and you'll learn all kinds of helpful ideas, tools, information there. You'll have transcripts of our programs today. And anytime we ever mention a book or say anything that we want you to know about, you'll find it on Peacemaking 101. Don, let's define what peace is and what it isn't.
Okay, David. I started off myself just looking up what Merriam-Webster had to say about peace and what constitutes peace. And here's a couple of definitions right out of the internet. First, Webster defines it as a state of tranquility or quiet, such as freedom from civil disturbance or war. Another definition they give is freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. And the last is a harmony in personal relations. But note, in all three of these cases, peace is generally defined as what it is not, and not what it is.
It's like, we can't tell you exactly what it is, but we can tell you what it's not. And we need to get more specific on that.
It's right. And I think there's a really interesting quote from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. when he defined peace in a way different from this. This was at a peace conference in 1967. And of course, he was talking about a state of war at that time. But I think it's relevant to what we're talking about, personal and interpersonal peace. This is a quote. "It is not enough to say, we must not wage war. It is necessary to love peace and to sacrifice for it. And this is the most important part, I think, for our purposes. We must not concentrate on merely a negative expulsion of war, but the more positive affirmation of peace." So peace is more than the absence of war or conflict or negative relationships or work stress. Peace must be cultivated as a positive attribute of an individual's life.
I agree with that. And that's why we talk about a peaceful lifestyle here. We believe that peace is an end state that you can enjoy, but that you have to do things to enjoy that peaceful state, whether it's harmony or tranquility or great relationship, the absence of fighting or getting the drama out of your life. There are things you can do that make your life important and better. We've got a different definition of peace around here, and it's a more holistic view. I see peace, like you, Don, not as the absence of conflict necessarily, but an interrelationship of interpersonal relationships. Let me say what I mean by that. You and I have relationships with everybody, everything, my car, my friends, even a relationship with myself. It's when you can flourish in your relationships with people, places, and things, situations, events, that sort of thing. Peace is the happy relationship that allows you to flourish in all of your relationships. I break them down into three areas. One is internal peace, where you're happy being in your own skin. You like who you are, or you've come to peace with who you are. That means your shadow side, the things you're displeased with, and you say, man, I wish I could live that over again. I didn't do such a great job. But you've come to peace with it. Or it's interpersonal peace, where you're getting along with your wife, husband, people at work, just people you know, you somehow you make those relationships the best they can be. The last one is what I call environmental. All of us live in a situation. We live in our culture. So it may be peace in the organizational sense, like I have a job and I've got to get along with all those people. And maybe I don't agree with everything that happens at work, but I found a way to make peace with my environment and so forth. And also it's learning how to live a peaceful lifestyle so that it cultivates an environment that feels peaceful and makes you more conducive to having these relationships.
Yeah, David, I've heard you refer to this as a lifestyle. Environmental peace is a total picture. But sometimes it's also places that we go. I'm a hiker, for instance, and anytime I spend hiking in the woods or wherever I'm at, I generally feel very peaceful during those times.
I love the mountains. I love going to the New Mexico mountains, Colorado mountains, hike up a hill. That's going to work for me. But I also love the oceans and seeing great expanses of water. Those things feed my soul and create a sense of something bigger and greater than myself, and yet at the same time, a sense of peacefulness that I'm a part of something bigger than myself. The main thing is when you're at peace, you're flourishing. You have a sense of well-being. You have a sense of relatedness between you and others, and something that will help people as they think about being a more peaceful person. You're important. They're important, but your relationship is probably the part you have to work on in order to have peace. Our relationships are the crucible by which we experience peace. Intellectually, we understand that we've got to be there for other people. But if we start thinking about our relationship with others, whatever it is, can we make it the best relationship possible? Can it be deeper? Can we make an even better relationship? Or if it's one where we're bonded with a person, can we keep and maintain that bond we have with people? Our relationships are the crucible by which we experience peace.
Okay, let's recap a couple of things here that we've said. Number one, peace is more than just the absence of conflict, but peace is more than what we experience internally. Our website is called Peacemaking 101. So I think we need to also define what it means to be a peacemaker.
Exactly. Peacemaking is the things you do that help promote peace. As we've mentioned earlier, we believe that if it weren't for relationships, you'd probably live at peace all the time. When I'm by myself, I get along just fine. I take myself to Starbucks and buy myself the coffee I like, or I sleep as late as I want, or I watch whatever show I want. It's when I get with other people that peacemaking comes in, right? Peacemakers are those individuals who are dedicated to fostering and nurturing their relationships in all of these areas that we've just talked about. And they're driven by a deep understanding of the factors that contribute to all of that. They study them and they want to improve in them, like learning how to listen better or how to have empathy and compassion. And of course, conflict resolution skills. That's a big part of getting the drama out of your life and teaching others how to live that way. Of course, you've got to have some skills that you acquire. And as you get those skills, you develop wisdom on how and when to use those skills. And the more you use them, the better you get. And soon you find that you get along well with other people. And when you don't, you find a way of coexisting in a respectful way that takes care of you and the relationship and the other person. When we're doing what's best for the relationship, regardless of whether or not the other person is putting anything into it or not, when we're doing our part, we are making headway towards having that peaceful life we're talking about and being a peacemaker. When I give myself the grace I need, when I've done things I wish I could do over, that's me making peace with myself. When I'm doing what's right for my family or someone at work or someone who you'd really hate to take them off the hook because they've done things to me in the past, but I do what's in their best interest and what I perceive to be the best for them in whatever situation I find myself in, I'm making peace. Don, are there other things you would like to add to this list I've just mentioned?
Yeah, David, I can think of a couple. One has to do with critical thinking or developing our ability to analyze complex situations, complex relationships, interfaces with others, and identifying the causes of conflict and exploring creative solutions. Another area has to do with resilience or perseverance, and that's remaining committed to peacekeeping efforts despite the challenges and setbacks. I mean, our efforts to be peaceful both in ourselves and in our relationships is going to be constantly challenged. As you mentioned, it's important that we exercise our ability to respond just like any muscle in exercise does, because you get stronger over time as you practice your awareness. Your ability to respond effectively will increase.
Exactly. I used to think of life as a cause and effect sort of thing. So let's say I meet you and we're talking and you do one thing and I respond to it, or you do something and I respond back to you. But it never occurred to me that if you were not having your best day ever and suddenly things took a turn for the worse between us, I would meet whatever you said with just as much force or as much vigor as you were giving it to me. But in peacemaking, I've learned I don't have to do that. I can manage my part of it. So if somebody is being a little bit insulting to me or makes me the butt of the joke or does something I don't like or appreciate, I don't have to respond in kind. I can do what I think is in the best interest of our relationship, which may be to say, hold on a minute there, I'm feeling uncomfortable about what you just said. Would you like to tell me more? Or maybe I need to remove myself from it. As a peacemaker, we're always using that resilience and perseverance, holding the door open for a better relationship if the other person is willing to work with us. If they're not willing to work with us, then we may go our separate ways, but it won't be because we didn't try. It's going to be because the other person didn't want to try. The more I have worked on me trying to be a better person towards other people and work on the relationships, many more things work out than ever before. A lot of the things that I wrote off for other people being the problem really weren't the problem. It was me not willing to put the effort in to bridge the gap, as it were. But when things don't work and I can't make things better because the other person isn't interested, at least at the end of the day, when I go home, I can say, I tried. And I'm going to leave the door open for peace.
Right. Just yesterday, I received a call out of the blue. I wasn't expecting it. I didn't anticipate the phone call. And the individual on the other side of the line was calling me about an issue that he was deeply embarrassed about. But he started off the conversation being very aggressive, asking me a lot of questions. And my immediate response was a defense response, right? It was like when you're caught in a corner and you feel the need to respond. So I did. But I was quickly able to recover from that and start asking some questions. And by the way, I found one of the best ways to deal in situations like that is to start asking questions and not necessarily make assumptions about where the other person is at. And oh gosh, it was less than a 5-minute conversation, but we had done a 180 and I realized what his needs were. I understood that he was embarrassed by the situation, that he wanted to make it right, and that I had an opening to work with him and fix that problem. We could not end up fixing it the way we originally intended. The circumstances had changed. Nevertheless, at the end of the day, it worked out great. Today, I followed through on that. He's been very cooperative and we're moving forward. So it turned out to be a really good, useful situation. I was using peacemaking skills to redirect that conversation.
Absolutely, you were. And peacemakers start asking those questions like you did. Good for you and good for this. Because what you have now is a restored relationship. And maybe there's still work to be done, but it has a chance, right? And peacemaking is about restoration, reconciliation, forgiveness, grace for ourselves, grace for others, so that we become this harmless individual. And believe it or not, as we become harmless, it becomes harder for people to harm us because we're not going to take their offense. We're not going to allow what they say to matter to us. Peacemakers can function in a variety of capacities, Don. Like, for instance, I've had mediation training for small claims courts. Sometimes you get in a spot and somebody has to help work it out between you and somebody else because there's money at stake or something has happened and we can't agree who should be doing what. It could get even larger to global disputes and international conflicts. And so we all should pray the universe's blessing on everybody who's trying to make peace in the Middle East or peace with our enemies of our nation. It's a vital role, and we need more people who are interested in making peace with others and for themselves. Now, my circle of influence is nowhere near as big as some people's. I'm ordinary person, but I do have some influence. I have my own family. I have students that I've been teaching for years and years. I have people at the church I attend, my own little community, right? I can make a difference there. I can be working in the best interest of all those relationships. And Don, believe it or not, when you take care of your stuff, whether it's your car or your house or your lawn or your garden, you're doing peacemaking because you are recognizing that you have entered into a relationship with your things and possessions you have. And believe it or not, if you take care of your car and keep it safe, you're impacting other people. If you keep your lawn green and nice looking, it makes the homes in your neighborhood look nicer and maybe sell for a better price. All those things are important. And that's peacemaking.
Hey, you're making me feel guilty, David. I'm going to leave here and go wash my car.
Let's look at another definition of peace.
Okay. You and I bonded several years ago over a reading of Father Richard Rohr's book, Falling Upward.
Oh, that's a good book.
Isn't it?
I recommend that to everybody if you haven't read it.
Absolutely. And in this book, he discusses the problem of either or what he calls dualistic thinking. If we follow either or thinking, either we have a completely peaceful life or we don't have a peaceful life. Rohr shares a perhaps a better way of thinking, which he called non-dualistic or both-and thinking. In this way, we come to see peace as being defined by what it is and not by what it is not. It's possible to have peace or to be at peace and live in a world with its negative challenges.
That is a whole new mind shift. So if you wake up this morning and you have food to eat, count that as a blessing, right? Or you're not fighting. Life is good. Start counting all the good things you have. If you have something to eat, if you can drive to work, if you have a job at all, if you have all these positive things in your life, learn to look at those as the tools you have available to make your life even more peaceful. We can learn to turn our thinking to what we have and see that those are the tools we have to make things better.
So I started this conversation talking about mental models, and I think the mental model that many of us have or possess is one in which we either have peace or we don't have peace. And what Rohr is trying to tell us is that we can have both end. We can have peace and we can be a peacemaker, despite the fact that oftentimes there are challenges and stresses and things in our lives.
That's the only way it can be. We live on a peace continuum. Some have very little peace in their life. And it's no fault of their own. Maybe if you live in certain parts of the world where your life is not very safe and you don't know but what some surface-to-air missile will take out your home, it's very hard to feel like you're having a very peaceful life. In spite of that, we can learn, I'm going to have the best life I can given those circumstances. Others of us have really wonderful lives. We live in relative safety. We don't worry about being harmed in any way, really. We know the potential could be there. There's nothing that's without risk, but we have a relatively safe life. So it's a continuum, isn't it? It's both and. And you can have a really great marriage, but have a really crummy job. Or you could have a great job and be struggling in your marriage. Relationships are not always in balance, are they? But the goal of a peacemaker is to tend to all of these relationships, whether it's your stuff, yourself, or the friends you have, and put a little energy and effort into all of those so that peace begins to have a chance in your life. And as you do it, you might be surprised that it hits a tipping point to where there's more peace in your life than not. There used to be this bumper sticker, Don, that said, teach peace. Do you remember seeing those bumper stickers?
No, I don't, actually.
Well, it seemed like for a while I saw those everywhere. Teach peace. And this is what our program is about, is learning that you can teach it. We all can learn things that make our relationships better, our lives better, and bring us more flourishing. If we just give ourselves a chance, we can see that happen. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time, but if you're in it for the long haul, and I hope you are, and if you're not impatient and you're willing to say, okay, I'm going to do all I can do, I'm going to hold the door open. I can't make people do anything they don't want to do, but I'm going to be there as best I can. I'll have the best relationship I can have given the circumstances I'm in at the moment. Things can get better. I'll close with an illustration of my own life, and this really happened. So our parents passed, there was an estate to settle, and there was friction among the kids. Things got tense, and I didn't want it to be that way, but I couldn't seem to get out of it either. Sometimes we get in these twisted situations where we're trying to do all the right things, but it comes out wrong, or somebody doesn't like it. These things can happen. But I decided I was going to have the best relationship I could have given the circumstance. For a couple of years there wasn't anything, but I held the door open. And then it got to be just a little better and a little better and a little better. And each time I moved forward with the best relationship I could have under the circumstance. Things are totally healed now. Sometimes we have to be willing to let time heal some wounds, but we always hold the door open for a better thing.
Absolutely. But I think this is what we need to do in order to bring more peace into our lives is certainly critical.
That's peace. And we hope this is a vision that people who listen to our program want to buy into.
Thank you for listening to Peaceful Life Radio, your place on the internet for cultivating a peaceful life. Please download, listen, and share each of our episodes about how you can build stronger relationships by ridding yourself of interpersonal drama and conflict.
Visit our websites at peacefulliferadio.com and peacemaking101.com for transcripts, show information, and peacemaking info. Until next week, this is David Lowry and Don Drew wishing you all good things.